Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we talked about footballers' houses. Tom Gibbs from The Telegraph had been looking in the background of all those Instagram shots over Christmas, and he noticed something, and he told us about that, didn't he?
A lot of grey paint, wasn't it, Paul? That was one of the main things. Jarlath Regan joined us. Talk about running and the NBA and all sorts of stuff. Did he talk about the NBA? And Liverpool, big Liverpool fan.
Yeah, he talked about that. We had a bit of a chat. We got the listeners involved as well. So here it all is. This is Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker with you through until four here on TalkSport. Where this afternoon, Charlie, what's coming up?
Coming up over the next 3 hours, Spurs and Brentford take on tonight's League Cup semi, a scouting report on Manchester United's incoming wonder kid, and how come they're still playing golf in Scotland.
We're also interested in your odd jobs and the day you were slighted, and why do footballers' houses all look the same?
There's all this, plus Liverpool supporting comedian Jarlath Regan, today's transfer rumours, and where sport's at in Lockdown 3.
Yeah, we'll get you up to speed.
This time it's lockdown here.
Lockdown 3, colon. This time it's what? I mean, I suppose what would the Lockdown 3 be called?
This time it's boring.
This time it's properly tedious.
Joe Wicks exhausted, just knackered.
This time it's not even sunny.
Joe Wicks just sat on his sofa.
Oh, yeah.
Do what you like.
Yeah, I mean, he's got his kids pee. We should don't want to bock the show. 5 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon,
Paul. Are your kids a bit old for Wicks PE lessons?
No. I've got. They're sort of in either side. I've got a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
Who doesn't particularly want to do a Joe Wicks workout. I will say that.
Well, he's in that hinterland. As he gets older, he will. But he won't want to do the kids.
He's at school though, Paul. He's at school now. You know, he's on Microsoft Teams with all his pals.
Oh, is he really?
Chucking notes to each other on WhatsApp.
Yeah, I bet they're playing Fortnite, aren't they?
Pretending that. I said, if I put a photograph of myself on Teams, I could just do what I wanted, couldn't I? Because it looks like I'm there. That's not quite the point. Good thinking, isn't it?
5 or 6 photographs with slightly different facial expressions that you can just put on a loop. Like thinking, holding his chin, like the emoji. One of those.
Good point, sir.
That would be it. You could just do different
facial... One with a hand up.
Different facial expressions. Baker, what's your take on this? Well, you look like you're thinking about it.
We'll come back to you.
Yeah. Well, you keep dwelling on that and we will come back to you,
You say it best when you say nothing at all. Paul, before we carry on, I just want to say I hope you feel loved after yesterday. I read
it was very nice.
Online correspondence.
People were lovely, I mean, most people anyway.
I hope you realise the high esteem you're held in by listeners and your colleagues alike.
It was very nice of
me. I'm a fan of this show. This is a huge privilege and a great joy for me to, whenever I come in and do this show. I am a crawler because I think this show is... the best show on British radio, and the way you've often given a platform to creatives and comedians and artists and sports people who are maybe down on their luck and all those sorts of people looking to get their charity out there, the way you've done that over 20 years is super impressive, and I hope you realise you are a great touchstone for people and a great strong place for people to find when the waters get choppy thank you very much.
That is lovely of you. That is really nice. But the money isn't going up.
I know that. I wanted to say, here I am to ruin the last 20 years.
We just wondered if your show today would be the straw that broke the camel's back.
If this was it.
The management were listening and said, you know what? and then they just that Charlie Baker show probably killed it off. They jumped the shark.
It was
they jumped
really
the Baker
spoiled
shark.
It.
Yeah,
really spoiled it. Anyway, there we are.
Like to hear from you.
I won't mention
off.
It again.
No, it's lovely of you. Thank you very much, Charlie. Thanks for everybody who got in touch yesterday. It was really very much appreciated. So, a couple of things to get you going on this afternoon. Now, Charlie, you're a working comedian. You're a radio presenter. This isn't an issue for you, but there may be some people out there in the world of entertainment who might look at this and think, you know what? Why not? It used to be a way of getting an equity card.
Okay, yeah.
A real-life Hogwarts is hiring 130 staff for roles, including trainee wizards and costume tour guides. Annick Castle, lovely place, actually, yeah. By the way, superb place, where famous Harry Potter scenes such as the Quidditch match were filmed, needs new workers for events such as broomstick training, Quidditch, not a sport, as well as admin assistants and kitchen staff. I don't know if you'd wear all the Hogwarts gowns, you're going to get covered in custard. Northumberland Castle, which dates back to the 11th century, featured two Potter films. So they are looking for enthusiastic team players who can go that extra mile.
Thinking back to my acting career when I was just an actor, Paul, I'd probably get down to the last two for Ron Weasley and be admin staff.
Yeah. did you ever, because I just thought there might be some of the listeners out there.
I was
there
a tour
today.
Guide on the London Eye.
Were you
once,
really?
Yeah, I had that as a job once, yeah. When it first launched.
Did it have its ups and downs?
It was really round and round.
Yeah.
So people get on. They used to have a tour guide in each pod.
Oh, really?
And you'd stand there and you'd have to say, and that's MI6 and that's MI5 and tell people the difference, which I now can't remember.
Yeah.
That's the House of Lords, that's the House, the House of Commons, red and
that's
green.
Sellers Park.
Yeah, which bridge is that? And you'd get questions like, hey, can I see the Eiffel Tower? You know, when they were looking at Crystal Palace.
So what'd you say? You idiot.
No.
A Paxman on them. Of course you can't.
Right, hold on a minute, guys. This guy was...
Yeah. Mate, put your hand up. Look at this. Put this a cap on. There's a tall cap with a D on it. Go and stand in the corner.
I broke up a fight once in a pod. We're at the top.
A fight?
Kicks off. Hold them apart.
What was all that about then?
Just kicked off at the top of the London Eye.
Who wants a tear up at the top of the London Eye?
In this pod. I had to stand between them and
say...
Was
it Millwall West Ham? What was it? Was it arranged?
I cannot remember what it was.
pre-arranged tear up in one of the
I'll meet
pod.
You at the top
one
of the London
of the
Eye.
Pods. We'll meet you in the pod. Pod 4, Charlie Baker's pod. So, the reason I asked the question is that the listeners out there must have... the excellent Michael Simpkins, actor,
yes.
He wrote a fine book about some of his early acting gigs and the weird and wonderful things. It's not just actors, though. The listeners, I'm sure, may have taken on an odd gig.
Yes.
Just an odd thing, something you look back on. So whatever happens, whoever gets these jobs, if someone does broomstick training at Annick Castle, they'll be sitting there one day as a chartered accountant. They'll be at the Christmas party and they say, you've always been an accountancy. I said, I was, but I dabbled it. I remember one year, I was, Annick, I was broomstick training there and the old Harry Potter. And it's a great story, something to dine out on, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be.
I mean, you've just proved it with your tales.
I had all sorts of jobs, but...
Was you dressed? Do you any chicken outfits or anything? Were you dressed in a costume?
I've done all the costumes.
Oh, you were dressed as a chicken costumes. On The Last Leg.
The Last Leg.
You came on as a chicken.
I've been
didn't
a 6-foot seagull. If you work for Sainsbury's at the moment,
6 foot, wasn't that Shane Duffy?
Actually, taller than that. It's about 7 foot seagull. If you work for Sainsbury's at the moment and you do their training film, some of their training films. I'm in some of their training films as Daz, the 7 foot seagull. I'm sure no pictures of that exist. So that's
good. Go looking for it, folks. See if you can get a screen grab for us.
Don't you find it awful, Paul, when you go to a museum or you go to a castle or you're on a day out, and you turn the corner and fair wanderer.
Yeah.
come. Yeah. While I tell you the tale of Leeds Castle.
And yeah, that's right.
Oh,
yeah.
Please don't, mate.
Please don't, mate. I remember years ago going to one of these medieval banquets at the Tower of London of part of my mate Stag Do. Mm. And we went along and there was a guy there from Birmingham, a very thick Birmingham accent he had. And he was one of the monks and he'd just come over and go, Mead. And we'd say, yeah, right. Mead. So he just, and then we engaged him in conversation. He was an actor looking to get his equity card at the time. So he'd just taken on this gig along with other things. Yeah. But he was just really miserable. Everybody else was wandering around jesters and wenches.
Maybe that was a character
but
choice.
But he chose to be the miserable monk. Mm. We engaged him in conversation. He hated every moment of it, but it was a means to an end.
Anyone can have a equity card now, really, Paul.
Is that right? Yeah, it's not the sought
just join
after.
Join the union now. It's
not as sought after. You haven't put, really. You don't put the hours in.
You don't have to put the hours in anymore.
Okay. Well, if you've taken on any weird and wonderful gigs, in some of those little stories, you say, there was that time when I did this. We would love to hear why and in what circumstances. Also, have you ever been slighted? Let's get this one out for you as well.
Nice.
Sporting slights and non-sporting slights. Jamie Carragher, very interesting after the Saints-Liverpool game last night, talking about the fact they played Henderson as a centre-back and making the point that what sort of message does that send to Nat Phillips and Reece Williams? And you kind of think, well, there's two centre-halves sitting there, you know, so how do they feel about seeing a couple of midfielders in the centre-back positions, effectively?
Do you remember, was it David James got brought on up front once?
Yeah.
Do you remember that one? When there were a couple of strikers sitting. Who was on the bench? Was it John? Was it for Preston? No. The old Preston forward. John Macken? Is it John?
John Macken
was on the bench, wasn't he? And Stuart Pearce, he brought on David James up front instead.
How are you feeling at that point? So we wondered about slights, not just at that moment when you're the obvious choice to go on. It might be Sunday mornings and you're the only striker. You need a goal with 5 minutes and they stick the right back on or the keeper or one of the kids' dads or something like that. So that moment, that's sporting slights or even slights in other, when you thought, they'll definitely call upon me. I will definitely be called
upon. There's the story of Mock the Week. If you warm up Mock the Week, you know, if you're a comedian, you're a warm-up man. You go and you warm up the crowd for the people who are on Mock the Week. And then sometimes, now and again, happened recently actually, someone got ill and the warm-up man had to stand in on the show. Matt Brown went and stood on the show.
Yeah.
A previous warm-up man, I won't say his name, tells the story of the person not turning up to be on the show.
Yeah.
And they go to him, so they've not turned up, to do the show. So we were wondering if you had any comedians' numbers in your...
That's bad.
It's bad, isn't it? Poor devil. I won't say his name.
Devil.
Poor bloke.
So, slights and also some of those weird and wonderful gigs maybe you've had over the years that you still dine out on. We'd love to hear them. Are you planning to apply to be a broomstick trainer?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Our producer is like you, John Callaghan, who does the National Obsession Not a Talkie podcast is a Talkie fan like you. And he had the weight of the world on his shoulders yesterday, and I wondered what was wrong. And he kind of let on that he was fearful that the National League would have to stop and Torquay would be robbed of their 11-point lead and they'd find another way to deny you league football.
It would be the most Torquay United thing to ever happen. And that's in a long list, Paul, of dogs running on pitches and chairman doing deals through ventriloquist dummies.
It would be. Our own Fletch, though, as a Woking fan, was delighted at this prospect.
Yeah,
and was coming up with all sorts of weird, wonderful ways that Woking could win the league.
This is actually a bit of a problem. It's a good point.
Yeah.
People who are up for winning leagues or promotion or whatever won't want leagues to stop.
Because there'd have to be a number of games, so many games, before you can say, well, they would have gone on and won that.
And
we probably haven't reached that point.
People who are in the bottom three or bottom six will want the league to stop because...
Yeah.
So you get to that situation, and I don't know if they've decided yet how they end the league, if it ends now. Like last year they did it on PPG.
They kicked that particular can down the road, don't you remember? I mean, when the Premier League kept having these meetings before, they kept saying, well, we will talk about it. Look, let's not worry about that now. I'm not saying that to you.
Oh, right.
This is what...
I thought you had to go to the break.
No. But that's what they said in the meetings. They said, look, let's not... We'll worry about that when the time
comes.
Hasn't
there been a lot of that, Paul, over the whole thing? We'll worry about that later. You think, no, why don't you worry about it now? Make a decision, and then everyone knows the decision. You've made a choice, and we stick with the choice, and whatever happens, well, you made a choice and we back you for that. I think that's how football's got itself in problem, and possibly the country, Paul, but it's not a political
forum, is it? 087-1722. You've been telling us about some of the odd weird wonderful jobs. We do
stuff.
Now have a picture of Charlie Baker as a 7-foot seagull. Can't you get some work at Brighton? We've got good contacts at Brighton. Can we get you
Brighton
down there on
Torquay the gulls, Paul?
Take
Gilbert's job.
Anyway, we'll put that on at TSHNJ so you can see Charlie in all his glory. You've been telling us about some of your jobs. This was a good one. Abs, now living in Glasgow, says, as a kid, I was invited on Tiswas. I'm a dentist now, by the way. And I ended up filling up the Phantom Flam Flingers paper plates with foamy stuff.
Anne Flan.
Now that was a show, wasn't it?
Oh, it was tremendous.
That was a show.
It was just genius telly.
Beautiful television, wasn't it? This is what they want.
It's Paul Hawksby and Charlie
Baker.
If he
does that now with a cotton wool, do you want a bit of cotton wool on your face?
If he brings Tiswas to his dental practice, that wouldn't be good, would it?
Spit the dog.
Just
Bob Carroll G's.
Every time you hear, do you want to just rinse out? He'd be doing all that one. Sorry about making that noise. It's not very pleasant if you it spit the dog.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
You're telling us about some of the weird and wonderful jobs you've had over the years that you still dine out on off the back of these jobs coming up at Alnwick Castle, a real life Hogwarts, hiring 130 staff. You could be a trainee wizard, costume tour guide, broomstick training you could do there as they do a bit of Quidditch at Alnwick. So we've had a few people getting in touch. Nigel says, first ever job as a Christmas temp, build a bear workshop, using the machine to fill the empty bears with fluff and stitching them up with the occasional kids' party dressed up in the mask. Got to.
Always feels a bit bleak, that bit when they fill the bear up. And they put the bear on top of the pipe and, you know,
is that what they do? You can't let the kids see that.
That's the bit I always think they should draw a little screen for.
Don't take the kids backstage to see that. Anyway, joining us now, who knows, a man who may also have dabbled in some weird and wonderful gigs over the years. Bear. Comedian, Liverpool fan, NBA fan, Jarlath Regan joins us once again. Good afternoon, Jarlath.
Hey, boys, how are you doing?
Yeah, we're not bad, Jarlath. Charlie's telling us he's been a chicken on TV, and he's been a 7 foot seagull over the years for a Sainsbury's training video. Did you ever dabble in those kind of gigs on the way up?
Absolutely. I mean, you get asked to do crazy gigs as a comedian, and like, it seems like the earlier in your career, the more willing you are to go, yeah, I'll give that a go. I mean, I wouldn't be doing anything anyway. It's terrible. I remember being asked to do background comedy. They wanted me to stand in the corner of a room where a drinks reception was taking place. And they were like, you know, just go and perform, do some jokes.
Oh, my God.
As kind of background.
Like background music, like you're sitting there playing Shadow of Your Smile on the piano, just like a lounge piano.
It sounds like a joke, but can't quite work out which one it is.
So how did you do that? Do you do it quite low key? Is it you just sort of saying two guys walked into it? I mean, how do you do that?
Did you hear the one about...
I don't know, but definitely I didn't. I passed on the gig, but I oftentimes you'll see a comic doing a gig on the TV or in a situation like that, and you'll think to yourself, I bet a few years ago I would have said yes to that. And you go,
gig's a gig.
Yeah, very stuff. Much so.
No, look, I've spent so much time doing crazy work. And part of it is, Charlie, you tell me if this is correct. There's a little bit of you that thinks, I'll get a story out of this. But even if it's wild and wacky, oh, we'll get 10 minutes out of telling this story. And in my case, it wound up in me donating a kidney to my brother. You know, I got a bit out of it.
Yeah. Was it worth the 5 minutes? Was it worth the 3-star review, though,
yeah,
Charlie?
Yeah, that's right. You're a kidney down, but there were some very good reviews. That's true. Now, Charlie, the last time we spoke to you was about your running podcast. And I would imagine that this time of year, people start thinking, oh, I've got to lose a bit of post-Christmas timber. And if they can only do one bit of exercise a day, why not go for a run? So I would imagine there'll be a lot of interest in what you're up to.
Yeah, I mean, really, I started it on that basis, that this was the only exercise that we were allowed to. And now we're back in that situation. And I think the last time I was on, I was telling you that I couldn't even run around the block at the start of this. But thanks to former world champion and Olympian, my coach, Sonia O'Sullivan, who hosts the podcast with me, I mean, it's extraordinary just what building a solid base of fitness can do. Because obviously there's a little bit of ego that creeps in, right? Every time you go, I'm going to go for a run, and you're conscious of the neighbors watching you out their windows going, what's he thinking? You want to look the part. So you don't want to do that kind of, you know, that shuffle, that kind of tippy-toed, crap-looking jog that most of us can do for any length of time. And that really is kind of the breaking of the back of it. So when last I spoke to you, I was taking the policy of I will build that base and see where it takes me. And here we are, 4 months down the road. And at the weekend, I ran 12K without really breaking a sweat.
That's now, not good. Bragging, that's very good.
I just couldn't picture this day, guys. Oh. And here's the thing, there's hundreds and thousands of our listeners are doing it with us now. There's a Strava running club for it. And brilliant. This week, looking at how to cook right.
And has having actual Sonia helped at all? Because a lot of people have apps where they have celebrities talking into their ears as they go along. But having an actual person rather than a virtual person, is that, can she give you specific tips, Charlotte?
Absolutely. I mean, really, the relationship there now is a friendship where you never really level with your personal trainer. If anyone's had a personal trainer, I actually talked to Ramesh Ranganathan about this the other day, and he said that he pays his personal trainer extra to be allowed curse on him. The relationship with Sonia isn't quite there yet, but definitely there's a humanity to it that you've got to be able to talk this through, because you're going to have your doubts along the way. And she made a point this week in terms of New Year's resolutions that our biggest risk with these things is setting the bar too high.
Yeah,
a little pie in the sky idea,
especially with pole vault. If that's your
yeah, that's where I see he's never off.
Charlie, you saw your opportunity there. Yeah, you were like,
I took it. I went in,
tapped it home.
I've missed it.
Yeah. So you were saying, yes.
Just doing things that are small but realizable little wins. Yeah. And the other thing she said was, you know, you kind of go into these resolutions thinking I'm going to give up a thing. Whereas if you're doing a bit of running, there is a bit more of a sense of I'm claiming this for myself as my time, and let's be honest, a little bit of time out of the house, no matter what your situation is, will always do your head a little bit of good.
So Irishman Running Abroad with Sonia O'Sullivan and Giles is available from wherever you get your podcasts, and you can go back to the beginning and take on the journey with them, although slight spoiler alert, knowing he's running 12K now, but that's not the point. Liverpool, stuttering somewhat, your team, are you concerned?
Yeah, look, I would be, because I was concerned as soon as all these injuries took place. I mean, really, the car has been running along on three wheels and somehow managing to remain at the top of the league. That was the most astonishing thing. I think we're seeing a few of the realities of how strong the team is and how sustainable the team is. But as I said to you the last time I was on, we've always got Jürgen there saying, we've got to be real with each other. and that always seems to get me through these things. I think fans maintain a positive ebb with the club because the messaging is so clear from Jurgen, and it trickles down to the team that they don't seem to panic the way Liverpool used to. My recollection of years and years of supporting them was that the second there was a wobble, things just, you know, you'd have lads showing up wearing suit trousers to games, you know, everything would go wrong. And then this time around, it just doesn't feel like that. But then, you know, look at Ollie, that relentless positivity that he's been piping for months and months and months is starting to pay off. So maybe that is it. Maybe we all need to be a bit more optimistic in the final lockdown.
And I don't know if that was a red flag last night, Jurgen Klopp going on about Manchester United's penalties. It was getting a touch close to Rafa's facts, wasn't it, really? I mean, you wouldn't want that. But he did say afterwards, look, it had nothing to do on the result tonight.
Well, people have been going at Klopp, haven't they, for his antics on the touchline, haven't they? So maybe he's going hitting a bit back, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think he was kind of suggesting that, wasn't he? When he said, does that have anything to do with me? Who knows? Does it? I mean, this kind of leads me on to one thing I did want to talk to you guys about, and I mentioned your researcher that I've been working on is, it's the subjectivity of refereeing, right? Mm. This idea that refs are influenceable. And as soon as you realize that as a Sunday league player, that if you make friends with the ref, he's more likely to give you the call when push comes to shove. If you were Jose on the sideline skidding along on your knees or screaming and shouting, I mean, you're less likely to get those calls. And I did a podcast about this very subject for the Inside Basketball wing of Irish Man Abroad. It's a basketball show that I do about, you know, various different characters in the game, about an NBA refereeing scandal that nobody really knows about. A fellow by the name of Tim Donaghy was mixed up with the Gambino crime family and involved in fixing games and, the over-under betting on these games. And he seemed to be labelled as the bad apple. Mm-hmm. But in fact, as the journalist Tim Livingston I spoke to, who uncovered the whole thing, finds out, it's actually the whole bushel of apples that was rotten, but nothing was done about it.
I'll have to check that out.
Sounds
I'm
very
to
good.
Listen to
if
that.
You add tigers into it as well, you've covered all the pandemic watching for everyone, haven't you? Because you've got true crime, basketball, get a couple of tigers
couple
in there.
Couple of tigers
you
in there.
Smashed it.
Fellow with a mullet, and you're laughing. And I think what you're talking about, reputations preceding people, not just managers, players. Like, that was a penalty. He was right. Mane... that was a penalty. Yeah, the legs got...
definitely.
I mean, talk about you've seen them given. It's very hard to say that wasn't a pen. But, you know, Mane does like to go to ground, and maybe the bar wasn't high enough for VAR to overturn it. But I think if the ref had given it, it would have been a penalty. So sometimes that's players as well.
We're through the looking glass in terms of that, aren't we?
Absolutely.
In terms of what is refereeing? What is a decision nowadays? Now, to draw the two worlds of basketball and football together, and it's something that I've been trying to do with my own country's game of Gaelic games and football over there, and they have kind of adopted some of the refereeing methods there. And this is one idea. I want to see if you guys or your listeners like this idea, that you get the opportunity to challenge that in the same way you would in Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Is there an argument that we can get rid of a lot of this VAR nonsense by saying each team has three challenges?
Yeah. You can choose. Coaches' challenges, like American
them.
Sport. Yeah, yeah.
And tennis. Works in tennis, works in cricket, works in everything.
Save them for the end of the game or use them throughout the game. I mean, that was definitely one that you would have gone, look, I'm going to use my challenge. We don't disrupt the flow of the game. We just know that there those three challenges title. I wonder, is that where we're headed to? Because the reality is, current situation can't be allowed to go on, right?
Yeah. No. Well, look, good to talk to you, Jonathan. Always a pleasure. And a multitude of podcasts. The Irishman Abroad, The Irishman Running Abroad, and also, you said, the NBA
Inside
podcast.
Basketball.
It's almost as if you can't get out of the house and got nothing else to do, Jonathan.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Go and have a run. cheers, Jonathan.
Great
take
to
care.
Talk to you, fellas.
Cheers, mate.
All the best. Jonathan Regan, he's a podcast factory.
Magnate.
But they're very good. He's very good.
I mean, he's very measured, isn't he, Paul? Very.
You don't have to be Irish to listen to the Irishman Abroad. It's very interesting.
Oh, I thought you did. It's good to know.
Well, I mean, they've got no block on the... I've listened to it. If you do have to be Irish, no one's told me.
Is it like one of those, are you a robot? Can you...
Yeah. It asked
you Irish?
I tried to go through. I had to mark up 3 parking meters, and I did that, and he let me in.
4 shamrocks.
I had to spot 3 Irish pops. Phil, that's Phil Lynott, I said. I had to do 3 of those, and then he let me in to listen to.
Oh, good. That's good to know. That's good to know. Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're going to have a chat with the Marine chairman a little bit later on. They take on Spurs in the FA Cup this weekend, and with no fans there.
No.
And it would have been a huge revenue generator for them. They've found ways, and people have responded, and we'll find out how well they're doing raising funds for that game a little bit later on.
I've watched a lot of streams this year. I know we'll talk about it later on, Paul, but they are of varying quality, just to let you know.
Really? When you I follow.
Yes. Well, they're often done in-house by a lot of National League teams. And they do vary.
It's not the steady cam experience we've got used to in the Premier League, no?
It's probably sometimes just John on the handy cam, right? You hold that camera, John.
It's an old Sonny.
Point it that way and we'll all pick it up on the old internet.
Anyway, when we saw pictures of various footballers, most of them behaving themselves, some of them not, of course, at home. Most of us were focusing on the superstars in the foreground, but not Tom Gibbs from The Telegraph, who was very much looking into the background at what he considered the fairly sort of bland.
They do have similar colour schemes.
Yeah.
A lot of grey, isn't there? A lot of grey at the moment. I don't know if that's a choice or I don't know how much research Tom's done into it, but I'm sure he'll tell us.
I think from his Instagram troll, he's noticed an awful lot of footballers' houses look the same. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hello there. How are you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, thank good. You. I mean, you actually said in your piece today, I suppose one of the reasons is there's so many rentals. I mean, it's such a transient business, football these days. Who's going to buy somewhere? You could be on the road in 3 or 4 months' time. So maybe they look for those kind of, the clubs find these identikit big houses in different places and the players just move into them.
Well, quite. There's a lot of reasons why footballers might end up in these sorts of homes. It's very comforting, isn't it, to imagine that there's this standard of luxury, this sort of life that you can just port anywhere and know that you can be living in much the same surroundings, whether you're playing for Manchester United or Middlesbrough or even Benfica or somewhere, and you can just move this aesthetic around the world. And footballers obviously have got a lot more important things to think about and to focus on and the colour of their flooring. So I think it makes a lot of sense, but it is quite amusing to me that basically it looks like they all live in one big house.
Yeah, it's a lovely thought. Yeah.
Just maybe they are all just together all the time.
You made the point, you were talking about the sort of 70s and 80s, and the Shoot magazine used to invite people, the players would invite Shoot magazine in to do At Home With. And I remember one with Trevor Brooking and his missus at home in the early mid-70s. And there was a lot of onyx on show. quite ornate coffee. There was an onyx lighter that looked like it could take your eye out. But great big shards of sharp onyx. Like, don't try and light a cigarette with that, Trev. No. But
I can imagine people would turn up to training, meet him in the car park. Yeah. Do you want any onyx?
Yeah. Onyx, spiny spares. But it was, they kind of felt very homely, and it looked like somebody had put down roots in those houses as opposed to sort of being just passing through these days.
Yeah, I suppose the different thing about those houses, a lot of the times, they didn't look that different to the sorts of houses that people might have been living in.
And, no.
And that's clearly the one thing that has changed enormously, is that the amount of money footballers have got to spend has gone up enormously. But it is strange to me that all of these places that we see in the backgrounds of Instagram shots, they're so neutral, they're so devoid of personality, and you can probably write your own punchline from there.
Yeah, you've mainly focused on the Southampton players. You had a good trawl through their pictures. And there was Ryan Bertrand and his partner there. Lovely picture. Again, a lot of grey and a lot of white on show.
Yeah, I wanted to make the point in the article that hopefully I'm not being too sniffy about where these footballers live, because the thing that really comes through when you look at these pictures of the people are the people with their family, and they've worked incredibly hard to get to their position. They earn the amount of money they should do, in my opinion, and a lot of the time these houses are their reward, and they're able to give their family so much more than they would otherwise. But I had a look, Paul, for you around some Spurs players this afternoon to make sure I wasn't getting too carried away with the Southampton findings. Harry Kane seems to always pose in front of the same set of doors. It really looks like he's got a lift in his house. I really, really hope that's true.
He might do. It might be on several floors. Yeah. It might be a high-speed lift. Yeah, that's it.
We never had this much access before, did we? You know, is the thing. Yeah. And I suppose they want it to be, because I know what I do. If I do an online gig and it's somebody's house, first thing I'll do is go, oh, where'd you get that sofa? Or I'll, you know, look at their art behind them or whatever, you know. And like, we all pick at it, don't we? You know, there's lots of things written about what books people have got, you know, in their shelves and all that sort of stuff. So I suppose they're under such people are looking at them so closely.
Yeah.
That if they did have anything different, it opens them up to so much banter.
Yeah,
I might want a better
their
word.
Their teammates could get, oh, look at that. Oh, looks like we got ourselves a reader, as Bill Hicks said.
Yeah,
you
professor.
See more than three or four books, he'll start being called prof when he goes into training the following day.
You'd have a lot of fun with Gareth Bale, I think, Charlie, if he was on the live stream with you. He's got this massive grey sofa. Of course it's grey. It looks bigger than my bed.
I wonder if Harry's got a lift because of his, you know, like your nan gets one, because he does get a lot of ankle injuries, H, doesn't he? If he wants to get upstairs to the bed,
he's a stair lift.
I reckon because you can, like, they say, why have a stair lift when you can have a lift? Yeah, you've seen the ads in the Daily Mail. So maybe he's gone early, one of those lifts that takes 25 minutes to get between the two floors.
You must be right about the rental. There's probably, especially around the Cheshire area, you know, that's where a lot of the footballers live, isn't it? And they've got so much money that someone must have bought 10 houses and rented them out to footballers. That must be how it goes.
Kind of property merry-go-round, I would think.
Is it Jurgen Klopp lives in Brendan Rodgers' house? Is it that way around or the other way around?
I'm not sure.
One of them lives in each other's house, isn't it?
Do they? He's moved out, though, Brendan. There's your sitcom pilot. If they're both living in the... Oh, we got Leicester next week. They'd put a turnstile in, like step
Brendan Rodgers' house, because when he left Liverpool and went to Celtic...
That happens a lot, doesn't it? The player leaves. As I said, the clubs do an awful lot. We spoke to a guy who does a lot of work with up in the Midlands, I think, for Wolves. And, you know, obviously got a lot of players coming from different parts of the world. And his job is to find them somewhere nice to live. The clubs lean on these people. They know the kind of level of property they want. So, I mean, this is the thing. If they don't regard you as a top player, you get a two up, two down in Cannock. But otherwise, some leafy suburb of Wolverhampton, they'll find. And so, the clubs are doing an awful lot of this, aren't they?
Yeah, I think clearly that's a big part of the role. A lot of work at the clubs now is just making things as easy as they can be for the players. Everything from sort of finding them a lovely private chef to bring in, or sorting out their passports and telling them what time they've got to be up to receive their delivery order and things like that. The thing that interests me beyond what we're seeing as well is there must be loads more that we're not seeing. But I don't think footballers want to look flash. I don't think they do it on purpose. I mean, even Gareth Bale, if you look at his Instagram, he hasn't posted a video of himself golfing for 28 weeks now, probably quite sensibly. But I'm sure there are untold riches that we're not getting to see on the Instagram. I'm sure there's some marvellous swimming pools and snooker tables, or maybe that's going back a bit to the shoot years. And certainly lots of rooms to adjust frame shirts and trainers.
Yeah, I love it when I think Stephen Gerrard had one of these, it might have been Michael Owen, in one of those documentaries they did At Home With on Sky. But the busts with the shirts that they've collected that are on sort of turning motorised plinths, so they can go into a very white room, which is a kind of shrine. So why not? You know, if you've earned it, why not? But the revolving bust, maybe with Ronaldo's shirt on it.
Why not turn your house into a version of the Hard Rock Cafe?
That's good stuff.
Maybe all that's what, maybe the golf and the trainers all on the OnlyFans. You know, like you can get. Really? You know, OnlyFans, Paul, is like you can get some sexier pictures of people if you start to. You can pay a premium to see the sort of racier shots.
Is this right, Charlie? I wasn't aware of this.
That's the OnlyFans. Maybe the footballers do that, but with golf clubs and trainers instead of nipples.
I wasn't aware of OnlyFans, Charlie, but you've piqued my interest there.
Just get on it, Paul. I think people will be interested.
Oh, they will be. Good to
20 years, why not?
Good to talk to you, Tom. Thanks very much.
Cheers, chaps.
Tom Gibbs there from the Daily Telegraph. You're telling us about some of the unusual jobs you had as Annick Castlego, recruiting a whole Hogwarts team, including costume tour guides, trainee wizards, and broomstick training, as well as people for admin and kitchen staff. Danny Smith tells us, I was a minder for the London 2012 mascot Wenlock on Super Saturday.
Who was the other one? Wenlock and Hemlock, I was going to say.
No, it wasn't. Was it? Wenlock. Was it? Oh, it's, I should know
good
this.
Good quiz question, isn't it?
Was it
Was it? Wasn't Mandeville? It's Wenlock.
You carry on, and I'll.
It was. Yeah. I can't remember. I was on the track at the finishing line as Mo Farah crossed the line. Says Danny. I mean, how much minding did Wenlock need? If you walk, well, I knew someone who was.
It was Mandeville, Paul.
It was Mandeville. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Where was it? What was I going to say? Yeah, I knew a lad who was the mascot for Millwall at one point, and he would go out into the community years and years ago, 20-odd years ago, and he'd go out into the community, do a bit, and he'd go around the local Arndale, the local shopping centre, whatever it is, sort of Bermondsey way, and he'd go out waving at the kids.
Yeah.
And somebody from the club would go with him, sort of somebody, you know, in the community would go along with him. And one day they went into a shopping centre and he said, you hungry? To the guy in the mascot suit. He said, well, I can't really eat anything, can I? I can't eat a sandwich through this. He said, I'm starving. You don't mind if I go and get a Mackey D's, do you? And he went, well, look, don't be too long, eh?
Yeah.
So he wandered off, leaving him there in this, and he's waving. So a bunch of Herbert kids turn up, 11, 12-year-olds. Push him over.
Oh, no.
So he's rolling about trying to stand up in this thing and give him a bit of a good-humoured chewing. While he's, but they're doing it as a laugh.
Yeah.
Hey, booting him around like an old football. And then he's sort of, then there's all these old deer's hand, leave him alone. Leave it. And then the kids all scarpered. Yeah. You know, it was all relatively good-humoured to have a laugh. They didn't work him over or anything. But then the fella wanders back with his halfway through his quarter pounder with mayonnaise run. You all right? Did you fall over? It's great, isn't it?
Oh, poor bloke. Anyway. Trying to make a living. Trying to cheer people up.
That's a weird and wonderful gig.
My wife was once convinced that our third keeper was the Gilbert the Gull for a while.
Really?
Which I don't think that's true.
They made him double up.
They made him, because he wasn't on the bench, made him be Gilbert.
Imagine that.
I don't think that was true.
That would have been a slight, wouldn't it? Your third keeper manager calls him in, says, Saturday.
You're on the pitch.
Yeah, you're on the pitch, but you are Gilbert the Gull. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHJ. We're looking for sporting examples or otherwise of being slighted. And some of the weird and wonderful gigs that you still dine out on, those little short jobs maybe. And you thought, well, I can't say no to that because I know it will give me a story, as Jarlath was saying to us a bit earlier on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talksport.
You're telling us this afternoon about sporting slights. Jamie Carragher last night saying, how did the young centre-halves on the bench feel, maybe to see? You've got to put them back in after you've preferred Jordan Henderson at centre-half than them. So it's always, you know, a bit of a slight in some ways. So you're telling us about your versions of that. As a kid, I went on the CBB show 50-50. Trust my luck, I was number 51, brackets first reserve. A lad who was sick on the way there, so I thought, this is my chance, but unfortunately he soldiered on. Yeah, he went through the pain barrier. I got to sit in the seats while others played the game, says Blaine. And Guard says, my team once had the Bear 11 for a Sunday morning cup match, which meant Yerlet, who was the club's not-so-super sub, had a chance to start.
Go on, Yerlet.
However, the ref stated in the rules that we did need somebody to run the line. So poor old Yerlet ran the line while we played with 10.
No,
that is a slight, isn't it?
Yeah, constantly giving offside.
That is a slight.
Oh, dear,
so sporting slights or otherwise, where you found yourself, this is my moment, this is definitely my moment, but you were overlooked.
Yeah.
And weird and wonderful jobs you have taken on over the years. The job when you're sitting around with your mates, you're dining out on a story of that 10, 15 minute, 2 day, 3 month job you had doing something weird and wonderful. It could be at Annick Castle these days in their Hogwarts show. You could be a tour guide, a trainee wizard, or a broomstick trainer. That's something to tell your mates about in years to come. So get in touch, talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHJ, 08717223344. Now, Charlie.
Yes.
Kevin De Bruyne at the moment is it looks like he's going to say no to the first contract he's offered by Manchester City. And there was a big picture of him today in the paper. And it's something that struck me before, that if he doesn't sign the contract, I think the major reason could be is that light blue really isn't his colour.
You think
it washes him out?
You think he does? It sort of looks a bit, well, as my wife says, peely wally.
He's quite pale, isn't he? And the blonde hair and the light blue.
He needs to be with like a nice green.
It's
It's just like a nice green.
Washes him out. So I was just thinking there must be a player. There probably have been players over the years. Or if Kevin sat down and said, look, I'd like to sign again, but the missus says light blue washes me out. I'll play away. I'll play away games. Or could we possibly change? I look good in red.
Yeah.
Could we possibly change?
I think you might be onto something there, Paul.
I'm not sure, Kevin. It's not. He's a brilliant player, but it's just not his colour.
But you do that when you imagine. When players go on, going to go to that team, I can't imagine you in blue.
Yeah, it's like a bit of a
dark blue. It's not for you. That.
It could be. You don't look good in
like
navy.
Sanchez. Sanchez was at Arsenal, he said, "Oh, I'm going to go." And he went to Man United, and I was like, "Yeah." And then I thought, well, I just can't imagine you any other colour other than red. You know, Sanchez. Let's go. Since he's left, you know, he didn't have a good season there. No,
that
he's
strange, so,
you know,
isn't it? So maybe it doesn't really work.
Onto something there, Paul.
If your story, Charlie, in the papers, a couple bought their two kids, who I think are sort of 5 and 8 years old, a little $12.99 boxing toy,
electronic
toy. Mm-hmm. It's made in China, this thing. Mm-hmm. And two boxers kind of clumping each other. And then when you win the fight, they say things. They say, they sort of go, wow, what a punch, or I won that fight. But at one point, it swears.
Oh, nice.
It uses a four-letter word beginning with S and ending with T. And it says it says that word and says, I've lost. So the kids are like, hang on.
Well, then you'd 100% be clicking it round to hear that every single time.
It did remind me, but the kids, and there's the picture of the two kids in the paper looking horrified at hearing this word, like they've not heard it in the playground a million times, or possibly from one of the teachers accidentally. But it reminded me of a story back in the day of when I worked in the old, on the music front. And the good people at Yamaha used to have this electric piano, CP70, CP8, big old grand piano sounding thing, very distinct sound, keen, they used to use
lovely.
It. Nice, lovely thing. But they were a big old beast. And often the translation for these things would be done by maybe quite young students who speak English. And I was told by someone at Yamaha back in the day, this was the case with the manual for this electric piano. And they put together the instruction manual. You have had to put the whole thing together, and one of it was the leg assembly, putting the legs on the on this particular piano, and it had the instructions and little arrows pointing at where it should be, and there was a screw that you had to basically attach to it. So somebody in the office who was doing the translation said to one of their mates who spoke English, "What's the English word for screw?" Because they needed to...
I can see where this is going.
So they print the manual.
Lovely.
They print the initial manuals, the big Yamaha manual that goes out with all of these electric pianos. And sure enough, there's a big arrow pointing to one of the legs. And the legend, yes, four letters beginning with F.
They're on, put the in ear.
Yeah. So, yes, that was... So they, you know, they spoke English.
But that'd be nice, framed on
the imagine
wall
they're quite a collector's item now, if you can find one of those. But there we are. That appeared in an instruction manual for an old Yamaha electric piano.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow, Charlie. Yeah, fantastic. We're back at 1. So for now, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.